So we have stated the problem. The problem is that there are many other pages on which Aurobindo takes it up, but we'll skip to page 416. The problem is that divine is, we conceive of the divine, and as those who have experienced the divine, they speak of him as the perfect one, perfect consciousness. And life as it is imperfect, and one has to be totally blind to say that no, everything is wonderful. So if we try to bring them together, there must be some way of understanding it. So there have been various philosophies trying to understand an imperfect world based on a perfect divine. This is the basic problem. Now, for a materialist, it is like there is no divine, but he has a greater problem. He cannot explain the world. Now, you can say that there was some kind of energy which was there existing, some inconscient mechanical material energy which burst forth into all these nebulas. Now, this tremendous energy, where it came from, this is one part, which if we really look at the facts of existence only, material existence would seem infinite. Just a few days back, I was watching, maybe a couple of months back, about space, one of the favorite subjects. So, you know, till now we believe that space, there is an end, and after which the light curves and comes back. Very neat explanation of the universe. Now, when the telescope has gone to that point, or my telescope means the light has, so it says that we thought that is going to be the end, but we see that from there, there is a, as if there is another as big universe on all sides. So it was so amazing. How come this exists? It baffles the human mind. So for materialists, it becomes even more difficult that there is just somewhere, some energy was there, which was blind, unconscious. And out of that energy and its works, such immense stars, beauty, perfection. And then, well, till man came on the scene, many beautiful things have emerged. And even in man, the emergence of consciousness. So for a materialist, ultimately he can only say, if he is honest, he will say, I really don't know. Agnosticism should be the honest statement made by anyone who doesn't want to probe further. But equally to those who have experienced the divine in some way or the other, some touch, some contact, or the religiousness, there is another problem that, well, he is all perfect, what is this world? So people have tried to explain in different ways, so we can, you know, skip those portions. There are even people who have said there is a divine and there is an undivine, Shaitan and Bhagwan. Now this makes it even more complicated that where did Shaitan come into the play? Who has introduced him into the play? So there are ways people try to explain. In fact, paradoxically, one of the movies where I found they are closer to truth than many of these scriptures was a movie called Bedazzled. It got a Nobel Prize for one of the things, if you have seen. Very interestingly, it shows the devil tempting a human being in different ways. And this human being realizes that this is limited, this is limited, this is limited. And then at the end he says, no, God, I want only you. He is given seven choices he can ask. So all that the devil says is that you don't ask for God. I'll give you all that you want. You want to ask from God, I'll give you immediately. He says, okay. But only up to seven. So he says, one is good enough. So he starts asking, feels it is so frustrating, so unhappy after some time. And he says, no. Let me exercise the second option. So it goes on. After the sixth, he realizes this is a trick. Because he says, after you have exhausted seven, then you will be mine. He says, this is tricky. By now he has learned the lesson. Whatever I ask at the end, it is not working out as I thought. So at the end, and they are very, very funny things, you know, very, very interesting movie. So when it comes to seventh option, and the devil says, look here now, you think, be very careful. You ask this, I'll grant. But after this, you are mine. He says, I don't want. Then he says, no. Now you have to ask, because you have from seven choices. You can't say, I don't want to ask. You see, now he is in trouble, you know, because he has agreed that he'll ask seven. And after that, he will be the devil's. So he suddenly says, I don't ask for myself. He asked for someone very dear, that, you know, may that person's life. And he asked not material thing, but something beautiful. And then the devil says, oof, I have to tear this contract. Because this was the clause. If you don't ask for yourself, this clause becomes invalid. And then the beauty is the last scene where this devil suddenly meets God. And God winks at her. It's a her. He says, well done. He says, see, I brought him to you, no? After all this. It's an amazing movie. It has brought a truth which is not there in the scriptures. That ultimately all this is leading you. Because, you know, Shivindo writes in Savitri. And that's what we are going to read now. One who has made this world is ever its Lord. Our errors are his steps upon the way. He works through the fears, vicissitudes of our lives. He works through the hard breath of battle and toil. He works through our sins, our sorrows and our tears. Whatever the appearance, we must bear. Whatever our strong ills and present fate, when nothing we can see but drift and bail, a mighty guidance leads us still through all. This used to be one of my questions, that really if karmic law is absolute, then how do human beings really improve? Because given the starting point, all of us start with ignorance, weakness, incapacity. Ideally, I should be going into deeper and deeper hell. But strangely, you begin to grow conscious. Paradoxical. So what is making us conscious and helping us grow? At least that was my very pragmatic question, that if karmic law is absolute, something we are missing, and that's what Sri Aurobindo is revealing to us. As the divine, he is taking full responsibility for the governance of this universe. Now, we are reminded of a little story when Sri Aurobindo, with Maharaja Baroda, when a person's gatri, a lady's stack of sticks fell down from the head, and Maharaja goes there, both of them are there, but Maharaja takes big steps and goes there, ties up the bundle and puts it back on the lady's head, comes back, he has done a great thing. He looks at Sri Aurobindo that he will say something. Wow, Maharaja. But Sri Aurobindo just keeps smiling. She says, because he was expecting well done or something. So what is your view? He says, this everybody is doing. He says, what? Putting back the burden back on the man. For a Maharaja, the true thing will be if there is no need for a lady to pick up a paap ki gatri, you know, if you want to put it like that, would be a kind of Maharaja. This is what everybody is doing. That you did this mistake and I gave you. Now people try to oversimplify that no man is given reason. Not really true. That reason cannot tell you most of the time whether, you know, it is light is very inadequate. And as we see in the Gita, Arjun's reason tells him I should not fight. But divine reason is otherwise. So there is all this inadequacy, and for the first time, as I say, Sri Aurobindo, what a compassion. Page 416. Once we admit a divine government of the universe, everybody says ultimately divine, we must conclude that the power to govern is complete and absolute. For otherwise we are obliged to suppose that a being and consciousness infinite and absolute has a knowledge and will limited in their control of things or hampered in their power of working. First time, I want to say this again and again, the only one, see, first Sri Krishna speaks about it, Aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshishyami masucha. It's so powerful. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. You may have killed, you may have done anything. Take refuge in me. I'll free you from. And then we see the mother, and Sri Aurobindo speaking of it. Mother says, even suicide, which is the worst kind of action, She says divine can wipe off everything. Divine grace can, she has used the word, the grace can completely annul karma. This is something first time we read in Indian thought. People don't want to believe it. Okay, fine. And then she gives a whole logic to it, how the divine grace does it. So, it is not impossible to concede that the supreme and immanent divine may leave a certain freedom of working to something that has come into being in its perfection, but is itself imperfect and the cause of imperfection. To an ignorant, inconscient nature, to the action of the human mind and will, even to a conscious power or forces of darkness and evil that take their stand upon the reign of a basic inconscience. He says that is possible. In fact, that's what he has done. Certain freedom, mind you, it's a very nuanced statement. There is nothing like absolute freedom. And in Bhagavad, as I was saying, in the very story of Madhu Katab, we see it. And the mother says, why the asura is allowed this kind of a state? Because it's the fastest way towards his own annihilation. So Madhu and Katab, ultimately, Vishnu Bhagwan, after 5,000 years, it's like, okay, I have lost. So now they are by now bloated. They say, okay, you ask what you want. This is a strange story. If you read, it's like shakes you to the core. When I had read, I said, ye kya padh raha hu? Asura has won and he is asking Vishnu Bhagwan, creation has not yet started. He has come from the mail or from the secretions of his ear. Madhu Katab, I'm sure people are, in one of the, we say Madhu Katab Hari. So, and it's between him and Mother Saraswati. So Saraswati inspires him, tell him to ask, boon, because you are now God. So he says, ask whatever boon you want. Vishnu Bhagwan says, sure, yes, I'll grant you. He says, I want to kill you on my thighs. Now he is conceited, but must say that at that point of time he is so much into that ego. He says, if I don't grant, I will not be the greatest. He wants to be the greatest. And he says, granted. And then nice dinner is served, but that's a different story. So it's strange because it's the only story where you feel what's happening. 5,000 years. And Lord Vishnu is playing with him. And they are the first asuras. So there is a certain amount of freedom. They are given that freedom. At the end, the last, the happy thing about all this discussion is that the last ball is in the court of the divine. He calls the last shot. And when Sri Aurobindo is writing all this, this is not a mental, ratiocination. It was his experience. What was the experience? He goes to jail. So he says, why have you brought me here? I was good intentioned. I wanted freedom of my country. And Sri Krishna says, I have brought you here. Wait and see. Okay. So after some time, he says, I have other plans for you. Wait and see. Okay, he waits and sees. After some time, he says, you don't worry, because his lawyer came and asked him, Chitranjan Das, do you have to say something? So Sri Krishna tells him, you don't have to do anything, leave it to him. So Sri Krishna says, so Sri Aurobindo says, whatever you decide. So then in the courtroom, Sri Krishna tells him, look, I want to show you something. And he shows him that he is in the prison bars. He is in the lawyer fighting from his side. And he is in the lawyer fighting against him. And he is in the judge who is going to deliver the... And then he says, now you know that it's my will that you are here. And I have brought you here with a purpose. So that 1 year in jail, he fulfills that purpose. This is first ashram of Sri Aurobindo is in the Alipur jail. Because all those who were around and Sri Aurobindo realizes. So what he is writing is not philosophy, but based on a concrete experience that how the divine actually governs our so-called errors, so-called mistakes, so-called punishments. So this freedom is allowed so that we may go actually in a way, even faster way to the divine, because people who are given many rules and regulations who live by that, I have met a lot of people, they just don't evolve. It's frightening to see. They just don't evolve because they've carried their life according to a format. And that's why when you see the ashram, it's very difficult to understand why there is so much freedom. Even this was asked to one of the Raman Maharshi disciples, that in Shurabindo ashram there is so much freedom, why there is no freedom of that kind here? So he had come and he had understood one thing. He said, you know, they are divine, because who was he who came and visited and went away? Kapali Shastri's mentor. So, Ganapati, Vasishtha Ganapati Muni. So he said, he went, he had darshan of Sri Aurobindo and went back and said, Divya Murtulo. This they knew, that they are divine beings. So he said, they are divine, they can do anything. They can put ghee and agni together and anything is possible. Everything is possible. We can't do it. Very clearly he admitted. When Sri Aurobindo was asked this, that, sir, you don't give rules, you don't have, you know, we don't understand what happens, we want justice. But what kind of justice? We suddenly see a man who has been, who made the mischief, he is continuing. I have been asked to change my department, even to go away. What is this happening, sir? Why have you given so much freedom? So Sri Aurobindo says, yes, so much freedom has been given. In fact, the disciple first says, to that the disciple can hang himself, such a long rope you have given, so that he can hang himself at the end by the rope. So Sri Aurobindo smiles and said, yes, but without this, Superman cannot be created. What you will have is dumb, God-believing, God-fearing human beings who will believe, and maybe afterwards they'll go to some heaven, wherever they go. But he said this freedom is necessary. That's why people cannot understand ashram. They cannot understand Auroville. And there's all kinds of things, because they don't know what is happening and what is the... He is implementing the original way that the divine works. Originally, this is how the divine works. If you look at the world, you have to only take it one faith, that there is God. Sri Aurobindo at one place says very humorously, someone says, sir, is there God in everyone? He says, yes. So he says, sir, sometimes it's very difficult to accept it. Sri Aurobindo, with his sense of humor, says, even I have to take it sometimes with faith. That was his sense of humor. And everything there is God. Now this is based on that. This is what he is revealing to us. That divine is not saying, I am great, good. There is another small letter of Sri Aurobindo, where he asks, sir, is Allah is great, God is great? Then he says, yes, yes, he is so great that he can even afford to become weak. Sign of greatness. Naturally, if he has to destroy a whole people who are mistranslating his message, he will do this kind of thing. So he says, once we admit a certain amount of freedom we can understand. But none of these things are independent of its own existence. There is nothing like a man doing karma, whatever he wants, and it's independent of him. He calls the last shot. Thank you, we have hope. See, this is why we should read Sri Aurobindo. If it was left to us, Tulsidas put it nicely, Ramaso Swami Kusevak Moso, Dehi Tehi Vidhi Sahi, Dehi Kripa Tehi Sahi Vidhi Poso. He says, such a lovely lord like you, such a horrible kusevak, bad servant like me, it is only if you look at your grace, and if we look at your grace, we have hope. If we look at ourselves, we have no hope. Same truth. In a surge of intuition, one has realized. So here he is revealing that but none of these things are independent of its own existence, nature and consciousness, and none of them can act except in its presence and by its sanction or allowance. You know, Amrita, when every morning, 4 o'clock, he wanted to go and meet someone. And he went. And she would say, Shurabindo, and Shurabindo would say, yes. He knew where he is going. He met some girl and started feeling whatever drawn. So he took it as Shurabindo's sanction. Shurabindo's sanction, go and meet. After some time, he says, sir, I want to get married. And Shurabindo says, what nonsense. And then he says, sir, why did you allow me to go so far? Shurabindo says, to see how far you can go. Only Shurabindo can say this. To see how far you can go. I know I am going to call the last shot. Go through this experience. I mean, he didn't say all this. And be done with it. Rather than, you know, I know what is hidden inside you. So he says, man's freedom is relative. This sentence must be est everywhere in our hearts because it's so hope-giving. We have heard stories of hope that, you know, Christians will say, if you have changed your name from Janardhan to John, you will be redeemed. But there is a but. You have to be a believer. There is still a but. And what about those who are not? They are condemned to hell. They may be good guys. That doesn't matter. No karma law. Nothing. He is Janardhan. Even there are saints who speak like this. The follower of saints. I don't know saints speak or not. Our path, if you become devotee, initiated, you have chance. Others don't have a chance. They will never get freedom. And then you say that, okay, any saint. No, our saint is the greatest saint. So all this competition goes on. Shabinda says, nothing doing, it's enough. Divine takes charge of his government. He's not even saying if you are initiated into this yoga or that yoga. So he's saying, now this is what I want to, I just love this line. Man's freedom is relative. And he cannot be held solely responsible for the imperfection of his nature. God did not consult man before he cast the seed. Man comes much later on the play. And that's there in one of Sri Aurobindo's data. Man has come much later in the play. He was not consulted. It was the soul which was, they had a discussion. What a relief. Thank God. We may be bad, but there is hope. We are not that bad that we'll be condemned into some eternal hell and eternal damnation. Ignorance and inconscience of nature have arisen, not independently. Even they have arisen as plots of his varied play. But in the one being, the imperfection of her workings cannot be entirely foreign to some will of the immanence. That's why that story touches me so much. That when somebody goes and complains, talks about in ashram also we see this, that. Mother remained quiet. She didn't say anything. Later on she talks about it to the disciple. That she went and looked inside herself. That what is it that needs to be mended within herself? You see, that is the divine vision, that everything is within me. Everything is happening within me. Regarding the ashram, she has said that it's like a little special condensation of forces. She describes it with a diagram inside in the abdomen, some area where she describes a special place where this experiment is going on. But it is within her. She takes full responsibility. So where we'll find this kind of, you know, this is omnipotence, if one wants to call it. So he says ignorance and consciousness are there, but they are all happening within him. This is the original Vedic vision, that Diti is surrounded by Aditi. It's not like, and if you really look at even the plant, it grows in darkness, but all around is sun and the light which penetrates into the darkness. It may be conceded that forces set in motion are allowed to work themselves out according to the law of their movement. Yes, they create a big halla. Okay. But what divine consciousness and omnipotence has allowed to arise and act in its omnipresence, its all existence, we must consider it to have originated and decreed, since without the fiat of the being with a capital B, they could not have been, could not remain in existence. If the divine is at all concerned with what the world he has manifested, there is no other Lord than he. And from that necessity of his original and universal being, there can eventually be no escape or departure. It is on the foundation of this self-evident consequence of our first premise, without any evasion of its implications, that we have to consider the problem of imperfection, suffering and evil. No one can give such a hope. Nowhere I have seen such a hope. And he's taking absolute responsibility. So sometimes people ask how he can say this. This is not there in any scripture. How he can say this? Well, God can say what he has done. No one. One can see the absolute power coming, emerging in this. He is taking complete responsibility. That, well, yes, I am responsible. You may not understand why. I am taking full responsibility. Sir, what we should do? Just take refuge in me. Surrender. First word. Next word. Last word. Because I am responsible. If I don't surrender, still it will be done. But it will be a very painful, long process. But I am giving you a shorter way. See, the same sarva dharman parityaja, but lifted to what level? Everything in nature. Keep surrendering. Don't hide anything. That's what mother said. Actually, at the end of the day, what is this yoga about? People teach all kinds of meditations, sitting in that process, working on yourself. And mother says all this is intellectual arrogance. And she says very difficult to explain to these people that I am doing meditation and I am doing this. So this is there in mother's writings. Say they will be the most difficult people. But what has she taught and Shurvindo has taught? Open to the mother. Don't hide anything from her. So people will say, but mother, you know everything. Yes, I know everything. But I want to see whether you have become conscious of it or not. That's all that is required. And she makes us conscious. That is the beauty. So yoga actually begins when we stop blaming others, frankly. Because as long as I am blaming others, I am not conscious of what's happening inside me. When I become conscious, then what is to be done? Offer it. That's the method mother has given. Offer it. Show it to the light. Show it to the light. How many times? Doesn't matter. She uses the word 1,000 times if necessary. And then she works, because that's the shorter way. Longer way is go through all the experiences and still ultimately end will be divine. Because it's originated. How he will take it, we don't know. One lady once told me, she was sharing that she was here for 2 years and then she wanted to experience the world. So she was standing in the queue of darshan that I'll tell the mother what now I want to go out. And suddenly as she is in the queue to take her blessings, the mother suddenly sends points to her and says, you step aside. So she steps aside. Now what is happening? She doesn't know. Maybe mother will scold. Maybe mother will do something. Maybe she has come to know. How she has come to know. All this is going on in her head. This lady has herself told me her story. So then these people go. And then after everybody is finished, then mother calls her. And then she gives her a rose and a blessing packet. And all that she says is, then she says, mother, I am going out. I want to go out. So mother took that rose, put on her hand like this, that you will go round and round and round the world and then come back here. Then she put that rose very forcefully on her hand. She went all kinds of foreign countries, this, that. Finally she came back. She was telling me this story. They said, but what was mother? I asked her, what was mother like when she asked you to just sit? She says, that Champaklalji tells her. Because he asked what was like, this could have been done even normally. When she is coming in the queue, mother would have given her a flower. If she asked the question, she would have told. She told Champaklalji she had given her things to realize whatever she is destined to realize in this way. But because the soul has a relative freedom, she has chosen. Now that is destined. She will realize. But now she has taken another route. So she has taken away those things, given something else. I mean, it's amazing. All this law of karma, papa, punya, go for a six. How she is. So we go through experiences. We are given a relative freedom, certain choices. Because he wants us to feel that we are also playing the game. And then we grow through that. We are not automatons. Even last thing he says, surrender at least has to be made by your own will. There is a whole little correspondence where Shobindra is asked, but then is it true that all that we need to know is there is a soul within and grace above? He said, yes. So you have spoken about the baby cat attitude. Do you really mean it? He says, yes, I mean it. So he says, then why, you know, he points out towards a person that you saw this person wanted to go and you let him go. You should have stopped him. Why did he go? He asked that question. You should have stopped him. He says, well, he wanted to go. That freedom is given to him, so he can go. He says, but you could have stopped him. He says, yes, I could have stopped him, but he is completely shut. He doesn't want to surrender. He has taken back. You have to surrender. That's a point which is the main important thing. Eventually, you will be back where you are meant to be. We have in Hindi a little sentence. Lot ke budhu ghar ko aaye. At the end, you will come because this is destined. But we'll go through. And so he says, that if the divine is at all concerned, okay, it is on the foundation of this. Okay, and first we must realize that the existence of ignorance, error, limitations, suffering, division and discord in the world need not by itself, as we too hastily imagine, be a denial or a disposal of the divine being, consciousness, power, knowledge, will, delight in the universe. So first he's saying, don't go by appearances. And I know this beautiful story of a lady who came to consult me that, you know, every time I go out of the ashram, I experience there are ghosts which chase me. So I said, then what happens? He says, I said, I've tried everything. Only when I come to the ashram, they vanish. I said, very nice ghosts. Such lovely ghosts. I wish such ghost chase everybody in. So of course then I realized that she wants a treatment, she doesn't want her. I said, so you stay here, what is the problem? She said, no, my parent is that. Now you see, we don't know whether they are ghost or whether they are. See, they chase me. Real story. As long as I asked her, as long as you are here, you feel absolutely safe. I said, inside the ashram, outside also. But the moment I leave the ashram and go, they start again and it's so difficult. But I have to go because my parents. So you see, so he says there is a reason why. So we think it is bad. Divine is not letting me enjoy my home life. How do you know? He wants to give you a bigger home, better home, like he has given to all of us in the ashram. People ask, how big a home? I said, in my home there are 2,000 people living. There is a cinema hall. There is a huge playground in my home. In my kitchen. My kitchen means in our kitchen. There are 2,000 people having food at any time. Really? That's a fact. Such a home. So many brothers, sisters, everybody. We fight, but at the end we know. We are brothers, sisters. So there is a reason behind all these things. Page 417. The divine reality is in. Now he's taking it to what level? He will say, okay, this is true of the soul, but not of the body, and not of the mind. Now, if you remember, when there is the Vishwaroop shown by Shri Krishna, it is very interesting. In the Vishwaroop, Arjun actually sees all the great yodhas going, he is not seeing them as souls. So it used to strike me what is really meant by, you know, he's seeing Karna is, and when they show it on ZTV, they make it very grotesque, of course, that they are all in dhoti and all this, they are going. So what is the sense of it? Now see, here Sri Aurobindo is explaining the Vishwaroop. Now where we will find such a wonderful explanation. The divine reality is infinite in its being. In this infinite being, we find limited being everywhere. That is the apparent fact from which our existence here seems to start. It's not necessarily the last fact. It seems to start. And to which our own narrow ego and its egocentric activities bear constant witness. But in reality, when we come to an integral self-knowledge, we find that we are not limited, for we also are infinite. After that vision, you can't say Karna is somebody separate and different from the divine. You can't say Duryodhan. All of them are going in him, emerging from him, are in him. This is the great liberating vision, and that's what the story of Barbarik is, that after the whole war, they go to him, everybody is saying, I was the winner, I was the winner. And then they go to Barbarik. We know the background of the story, we need not, because he could have destroyed the entire Kaurava army with two arrows. And Shri Krishna, as he starts, he beheads him. He is son of Ghatotkach. Then he is fighting from our side. He says, you don't know my will, so stay quiet. So all the Pandavas stay quiet. Anyways, now we have to fight the war. Oh, they were all jubilant. We'll have party today. But Krishna played the spoil sport today. But Pandavas have faith in him. So Arjun says, okay, it doesn't matter. I'll fight the war. So he says, you have, because Barbarik had surrendered to the divine. And he says, you will see this whole drama. So he is put on the Tila. There are two different versions of the story, but I'm just saying that important part is what comes now. So at the end, he is asked that you saw the whole war. You tell us who is the greatest warrior. So the head laughed. This is, no, see, we are serious. This is not a laughing thing for us. He says, what can I say? I saw Krishna on this side. I saw Krishna on that side. I saw none else except Krishna. So what can I say who was the best warrior? Now you see, this is another level of vision. Sri Aurobindo had this vision. When he saw the lawyer on this side and the lawyer on that side. Which means in any given situation, we don't need to cut off ourselves from a situation. We need to evolve to see the divine truth behind it. That's all that is required. And that's where he is reminding us. But in reality, when we come to an integral self-knowledge, we find that we are not limited, for we also are infinite. Our ego is only a face of the universal being and has no separate existence. Our apparent separative individuality is only a surface movement, and behind it, our real individuality stretches out to unity with all things and upward to oneness with the transcendent divine. But he also talks about what is this ego and how it is also joined. Beautiful, this passage with which we can stop. So from this we may think, okay, there is within us a spiritual truth of which Sri Krishna is saying. But as far as the ego is concerned, this is, well, something has happened. Divine doesn't work like that. He will take responsibility for everything. And here, as I said, we will see Sri Aurobindo's Vishwarup Darshan. So he says, on page 418, but here again we have to discover that from the point of view of God's workings, whatever be our reactions or our experience on the surface, this fact of ignorance is itself an operation of knowledge and not a true ignorance. He covers, he reveals, and he covers. Its phenomena of ignorance is a superficial movement, for behind it is an indivisible all-consciousness. The ignorance is a frontal power of that all-consciousness which limits itself in a certain field, within certain boundaries, to a particular operation of knowledge. It's a beautiful passage. I'll just take up two stories. So even the most outward, the most surface movement, even the human ego with all its, even that is where divine takes responsibility. So there is a story which comes at the end of Mahabharata. Till now it is not there. I was trying to look the name of the person through AI and the story. The AI keeps on telling me there is no such story. But there is a story, so it won't be there on the AI. That means that they have not fed the full data. So the story goes that Arjun is going for the, you know, Ashwamedha Yajna and the Vijay Yatra. And then he is confronted by prince, whose name is with P, Praveer or Praveen. That's where I was trying to look for the exact name. I tried every possible combination. Said there is no such story. So, I mean, he keeps taking me here and there. Anyways, the fellow doesn't know. AI doesn't know everything. We should be very clear about that. And this story is so beautiful. Nobody has probably fed it because what does it make? So when Arjun is fighting, he tries everything up his sleeve and it doesn't work. So he asks Krishna, because he is led to a point where he is on the point of giving up. He says, what do I do? He says, you won't be able to kill him. Because he has to ask. He said, but why? What kind of... You are sitting with me. How is it that I cannot kill him? He says, because he is... Every moment he is remembering me. Every moment. You can't pierce an arrow. He says, then what do I do? Only thing is I concede defeat. He says, no. Since it is my will that you will be the winner, now that you have asked me, I'll do the magic trick. So what does he do? He is all the time remembering Krishna, Krishna. And Arjun is failing. So he sits on the tip of the arrow. Who sits? Shri Krishna. He manifests himself. And it's a very touching story. As the arrow is shot, this prince suddenly, because he is all the time living with that state of Krishna, he realizes inwardly that now I must leave the body. He does pranam and allows the arrow to pierce him. And obviously he goes to Shri Krishna Dham because all is Krishna. Now this was such an instructive story that, you know, there is a way of looking at things which can be so different that even the movements of the ego. And one more story which is little funny but very interesting. Narad once tells Lord Vishnu, you know, you have been sending me as a messenger going to earth and coming back. Now I have got a little contaminated. This is what I also want to marry. He says, sure, na, Lord. He says, okay, go try whatever you want to do. So he says, but who will marry me? Look at my face. There is a swambar going on, the most beautiful princess. And I do something about my face. So he says, okay, shall I give you a face that is very dear to me? He says, yes, what more? He takes a face and he goes. Now, no mirrors, nothing. He goes there and he knows, now I am going to get married. Lord Vishnu has sent me. He doesn't read the nuances. Nuances are to see how far you can go. So, he is waiting and the princess, everybody is first laughing at him. Then the princess comes. He believes that now she will put into me, but she laughs and goes away. Now, he is very annoyed. He says, how can the boon of Lord Vishnu go amiss? So he goes and looks into the pond and he realizes he has a monkey face. Now he is very angry. He says, I can't do anything but this face. You said, no, it is the dearest. Actually, it is dear. One day, like I am suffering now, you will have to suffer. Missing your loved one, he is in that anger and this very face will save you. So Vishnu Bhagavan says, thank you, made my task easier. This is my master plan. Of course, he feels bad being a bhakta. Now you see the story, if you read these stories, you discover that there is everything. That's what Shobinda says in Savitri. Our least stumblings are foreseen above. Then whom will we condemn? Whom will we judge? We have to walk with our aspiration and the light within and keep moving forward. That's what is given to us. We have to surrender whatever we are as we are and keep on aspiring for the greater and greater truth towards which he is leading us. And that's what is the gist of this whole passage, that he takes full responsibility. We'll leave with this sentence. There is a secret working which fills up all the deficiency of the frontal ignorance, acts through its apparent stumblings. He uses every stumble as a springboard toward the future. Prevents them from leading to another final result than that which the all knowledge has decreed. He has decided. You may do whatever you want to go. Look at where karma law is going, is totally forgotten. He is saying the all knowledge has decreed a result and it is going to be like that. You may try, but the final result has been seen. See, this is Shurvindu's experience in the Alipur jail. And that's exactly what Shri Krishna Vasudev tells him. That, see, I have decided. Just stay quiet, surrender. So this is what we have to be, quiet and surrender. What that final result is, we do not know. Through our aspiration, we can know. But that doesn't mean life will be hunky-dory. That's not what he's referring here. Helps the soul in the ignorance to draw from its experience. So everything is there. Our mind is trying to read a different message. No. Actually, you know, this is not the message. Message is here. So mind is saying, maybe this time I will find my perfect match. So you'll say, no. You don't worry. Your perfect match is, you know, all that. I am your perfect match. You love me, then you'll find. So they will be constantly this pull which will lead us through everything to what he has decided. Even from the natural personality's sufferings and errors, what is necessary for its evolution and to leave behind what is no longer unutilizable, this frontal power of ignorance is a power of concentration in a limited working, much like that power in our human mentality by which we absorb ourselves in a particular object. So it is the divine who has become this ignorance by selectively concentrating, means he has pushed us into a direction we never apparently wanted, and then we go through all that and then he pulls us back and we wonder what happened. Because that's how the path you had to take. So what is the, is there a way to come out of this long process? Yes. Surrender, aspire. This is the path. At the end, so beautifully, Tulsidas summarizes, Ho hi and so hi jo Ram rachi rakha, ko kari tark badha vahi shakha. At the end of the day, the divine will reign supreme. And it's so clear. If you read the history, people often say, we used to use this for Ravan and Kansa. So people say, oh, but see, this is what is happening. China is doing this, America is doing this, and Europe is doing this, India, this is happening. And what is worse is people who really have faith in the divine speak like that. So I say, see, forget about Ravan and Kansa. We may say mythology. Just go less than 100 years behind. There was Hitler, Stalin, and Mussolini. Much worse than, in fact, in front of them, Ravan looks a very decent guy. Kansa will appear almost saintly. And such beings came. And this is in front, I mean, we are all, this is history. What happened? Where is Hitler's Germany and his idea? Where is Stalin's Russia, though he played his own role? Where is Mussolini, with whom Tagore was impressed when he went to meet him and he said, oh, he's a very nice guy. I don't know why people say, because he had a very good propaganda when he came, he nice music, all this. Like Hitler also had his propaganda machine. Till Roma Rola told him, don't be fooled by appearances. Where are all these guys? They've been relegated to the Museum of History. And today, in spite of all that, we live in a free world. Sitting together, women have arrived at their freedom, emancipation. We are aspiring for a divine life. This is the way divine works, through our ego, are ignorance. As Sri Aurobindo says, what are sins? They are the smoke that the pilot leaves. As we are doing a pilgrimage, so pilot has to leave behind the smoke. And that smoke also is very interestingly propelling the rocket upward. So thank God, the life divine is there. Thank God, Sri Aurobindo and the mother is there. Thank God, he has a foolproof plan in spite of us. And therefore there is hope for all of us, even for the most astute non-believer. Chema. We'll meet tomorrow. Continue. So again, anybody wants to avail last day to Auroville can put their name if they have not put the name. Chema.